T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. The United States Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments. You know, Dusty, I got to tell you, you are really good with the intro music, but this one takes the cake, I got to tell you. Or rather, the pumpkin pie this one takes. So the U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments on the future of some 600,000 illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children. The justices heard arguments from 3 consolidated cases challenging the Trump administration's efforts to shut down the Deferred Action for Children, or Childhood Arrivals, rather, program known as DACA. The arguments mark the culmination of a years-long fight over the Obama-era program, which has extended protections against deportation to young immigrants brought to the country illegally as children. Joining us now to discuss this is Mike Howell. Mike is a senior advisor for executive branch relations at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, didn't he do good on that one? Feliz Navidad, how appropriate.
Very seasonal.
Yeah, very seasonal. Not very politically correct, but what the heck. So, Mike, this may seem like a simple, or rather, I don't know, I guess it's a stupid question, but if one president can use his executive authority to put the policy into effect, why can't the next president use the same executive authority to repeal the policy? I don't understand why there's even a case.
Yeah, welcome to the bizarro legal world
okay, that we're in,
where a judge that disagrees and wants to play president for a day can tie anything they want up in court long enough that it basically stymies the administration's effort. It's resistance in robes is what I like to call it.
Perfect.
Yes, yeah. Obviously, it follows that if Obama could do it, Trump could stop it. There's no question there. And furthermore, Obama didn't even have the authority to do it in the first place. It's an unconstitutional program. Trump had a responsibility to stop an unconstitutional responsibility. He also had a moral responsibility to stop tricking these DACA recipients into believing they had some sort of permanent ironclad status. The only argument now for not unwinding it is, oh, well, we told these kids they could stay, and now they come to believe that they could, so their reliance on it. And it's like, that's a false promise that was given to them. So there was a moral imperative here to stop that false promise.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because I agree. And, the sad part is the folks who were here and who've now kind of been in this limbo and are being treated unfairly by this. But it is, you're right, I find it baffling that you have an unelected guy in a black robe who's now able to just tell the president of the United States, no, you can't do something that constitutionally you're allowed to do. But the program, if I'm wrong here, the program rewards and actually encourages illegal immigration and hurts American workers, doesn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. Amnesty, and we research this all the time at the Heritage Foundation, and it's beyond a doubt in our mind that amnesty only begets more amnesty and is a massive driver for more illegal immigration. If we were to grant amnesty in the event that, the judges strike, or, I'll say Trump was allowed to, get rid of the program and then there's some sort of legislative amnesty compromise or something to that effect, what you're going to see is everyone south of the border thinking that they'll be the next DACA recipients and, coming across. It's, consequence-free immigration policy, and it is, an absolute insult to Americans that so many people who just do not respect our laws, our, norms, culture, language, et cetera, are being rewarded for such blatant disrespect.
Well, and I think it also flies in the face of immigrants who come here legally, go through a terrible process. We need to reform the legal immigration process. But those who came here and went through it legally and went through the whole process, that long, arduous process of becoming legal citizens, now you're going to take people who came here illegally and move them to the front of the line. And I think it also ignores the fact that this is, I mean, Barack Obama used an incredible amount of executive overreach in order to implement the program in the first place. Aren't the courts limiting the president's power and discretion over immigration matters by restricting his right to undo that overreach in the first place?
Right. And I wish I could say there was even a consistency to the, you know, ideological argument against Trump's ability to conduct immigration policies. You know, you have on one hand a recognition that Obama could, you know, buy whole cloth and just a simple writing of a memo grant legal status to almost a million illegal aliens. Yet Trump can't do anything, even through the regulatory process of notice and comment or enforcing the laws on the book. What we're seeing as the method, the means that judges are using is like this Administrative Procedures Act, which just has this standard, this judicially created standard that if, you know, a regulation is arbitrary and capricious or like you didn't dot your I's and cross all your T's, and by that they mean they'll just find anything they think you did wrong in rolling out your you know, initiative, that they'll say, oh, wow, you violated the Administrative Procedures Act. And so that's what they're doing here. They're saying like Trump did not, you know, go through all the motions he should have when, you know, he basically had to do, honestly, was just rip up the piece of paper and put it in the shredder.
Right, right. Well, we're talking with Mike Howell, Senior Advisor for Executive Branch Relations at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, based on the justices' questions, do you have any idea how they're likely to, and I know that's a, you know, looking in your crystal ball here, but do you have any idea how they're likely to rule on this?
Well, I mean, just statistically, we know that the liberal wing of the court is most likely not going anywhere.
Sure, of course.
They vote as a block, and for all of, you know, these arguments about the conservative wing and the conservative takeover, I think you were seeing a ends-motivated left, you know, block on the court who, you know, virtually votes together on every, like, you know, major case of social impact. There's a very low chance I will be very shocked, and I'll have to come back on and explain to you how shocked I am if I see any of the, you know, four liberal justices do anything that diminishes the supremacy of illegal aliens over our own citizens in any bit. They will never offend, you know, illegal aliens. Not while they sit on the court, which should be, you know, reviewing our laws, you know, for the purposes of United States citizens. But that's unfortunately not the world we live in. Most people in, you know, my world are, you know, looking towards to see if, you know, the right-leaning block of the court will stay unified. Who knows? Fingers are crossed, but judging by the questions, it appears, and also the simplicity of the legal issues, I mean, it appears that there's not really an easy out, even for, you know, any of the Republican-appointed justices, if they wanted to arrive at a decision that Trump somehow couldn't do this. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. You know, that's a tough cross to bear to be the guy who, you know, went against the dreamers or, you know, quote-unquote dreamers. So hopefully they stay strong, stay true to the law, which is their job. Do not worry about public perceptions of their actions. And you know what? Congress can figure it out if, you know, it gets struck down.
Well, and that's the proper venue for this anyway. But you know what? American citizens are dreamers, too, and they have dreams, too. The fact is, I think, you know, the way this should be handled is through Congress. That's the way this type of legislation should be handled, this type of policy, rather, should be handled. If they rule DACA, and hopefully they do, if they rule it illegal, as many, including myself, think it should be, what happens next? Then it goes, obviously, then we have to deal with immigration reform. What happens to those who are in limbo, the DACA recipients? They then have to go back to going through the legal immigration process, correct?
Yeah, and here's where everything falls apart and what breaks my heart as someone who actually believes that we should have some sort of immigration enforcement in this country. They'll go into the pool of illegal aliens, you know, any estimates of, you know, 14 million or up, and then they'll go through the process, and ultimately many of them will be ordered removed. But then it doesn't end there because ICE has such limited resources to actually remove something, and illegal aliens ordered removed have such little respect for our country that even when they're ordered removed, even after we've afforded them a process well beyond what they'd receive in any other country, they still stay. And so not many folks get removed from this country. Very small fraction of the total illegal alien population. So while, yes, it will technically be in some sort of legal jeopardy, realistically speaking, they don't stand much of a chance of getting removed. And certainly, like, politicians and ICE aren't going to put them at the top of their list for priorities. ICE needs to be funded in a way that's actually reflective of the enormity of the problem of the illegal alien population in this country. And it's just another instance in which if you are a citizen of this country, your rights are subordinated to illegal aliens. Because you know what? If you or me had a warrant out for our arrest, we'd probably get taken in. and we'd be separated from our families. But if you're an illegal alien, you're not getting removed in all likelihood.
Right.
You know, there's millions and millions of fugitive illegal aliens in this country who are in here illegally and not really a threat for any consequences to them. And that's a shame, major shame.
Maybe they'll do the Mitt Romney self-deportation process and follow that procedure. Mike, I appreciate you bringing us this. I've posted the story on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But if our listeners want more information, where can they go for some of your stories and some of the other information?
Right. So www.heritage.org is our website, and you will see we have an immigration tab. We have a report on there called Jennifer, American Immigration Reform, where we kind of walk through in a comprehensive manner the different facets of what immigration reform should look like. And spoiler alert, when the White House rolls out their legislative immigration package, you'll see a lot of the same things in there. Also, on the DailySignal.com, a newspaper put out by the Heritage Foundation, we write on these topics a lot. So please give us, you know, some clicks there. We got some terrific just researchers here who put up a lot of great work on this topic.
But Mike, I appreciate you coming on this evening, sharing it with us, and carry on the fight, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So we were anticipating having this interview on. I wanted to kind of get your feedback. So we put up a poll a little more than a week ago, about a week, 10 days ago. And we just asked pretty simply, do you support the repeal of DACA, the Obama administration's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program? And we wanted to get your feedback. We had a ton of responses. Over 583 people responded, voted in the poll, sent me messages. It was a huge response. 71% of you said, yes, repeal it. This is a matter that Congress needed to handle. Only 29% said no, that the policy should stand. So that's a pretty overwhelming response, and it's not unexpected. That's pretty much what I thought we would find. After the break, we'll talk with Sedgwick County Commissioner Michael O'Donnell about the Riverfront Master Plan. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.